who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Svako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polovni. Točno o poldan.
Poslušalke in poslušalci, lepo pozdravljeni v oddaji Južna hemisfera. Tokrat se spuščamo v indijsko prestolnico Delhi, kjer tudi danes potekajo množični protesti, odvijajo se že skoraj mesec dni. Naj spomnim, danes mineva namreč tudi natanko mesec dni od tragičnih dogodkov, ki so sprožili val teh množičnih protestov, in sicer ko je bilo strani skupine petih moških na mestnem avtobusu v Delhiju brutalno posiljeno 23-letno dekle, študentka, ki je na to tragično kasneje zaradi posledic tega brutalnega dejanja tudi preminilo. Tragični dogodki so kmalu sprožili nepričakovan in za indijsko družbo redko viden pojav množičnih urbanih protestov, ki so bili skoncentrirani, kot rečeno na Delhi in se nadaljujejo še naprej. Glavna značilnost protestov je ta, da je združil različne skupine, ženske organizacije, civilno-družbena gibanja, ki pozivajo, ki opominjajo in ki predlagajo različne ukrepe za spremembo položaja žensk v indijski družbi, ki jo je, kot rečeno, ta tragični dogodek še posebej izpostavil. Pa si glede ozadja tega posilstva in dogodkov, ki ga je sprožilo, najprej poslušajmo pogovor z Kavito Krishnan, sekretarka Vseindijskega progresivnega ženskega združenja. To združenje je eno glavnih organizatorjev protestov proti nasilju nad ženskami in za pravičnejšo zakonodajo na področju spolov. Ob tem naj se poslušalcem opravičim, ker smo s Kavito Krishnan, kot rečeno, opravili pogovor, vendar ga zaradi hude tehnične napake v tem trenutku ne bomo mogli predvajati, bomo pa zato zavrteli izsek iz njenega pogovora za ameriški politični program Democracy Now. Torej, Kavita Krishnan o ozadju posilstva in posledicah, ki ga je sprožil, kot rečeno, s temi masovnimi protesti na indijsko družbo.
It's difficult to understand exactly why this particular case struck such a chord, because there have been so many other incidents. Of course, this incident was particularly graphic violence, but there have been other terrible incidents as well, including incidents in Delhi. But I think it was a cumulative effect, an accumulated feeling of anger and outrage at the impunity enjoyed by perpetrators of sexual violence and at the imposed insecurity, at the restrictions that insecurity imposes on women. And it all burst out in this, perhaps because this young woman was doing something so normal. She boarded a bus to go home after watching a film with her friend. And I think that somehow struck such a huge chord, because everyone identified with her, and felt that in their own situation, Delhi has a huge number of young people coming for coming to study, coming to do a variety of courses, or coming to work in a number of casualized, contractualized jobs, insecure jobs. And I think they all felt a deep connection with this nameless person. You mentioned her name, the name that has been used for her, but I think that's just a name, a tag that was used by a couple of newspapers. But for many people, she was nameless, and they choose to refer to her without her name, without seeking to know her name, or without seeking to personalize her by giving her some other name. Because I think she was, in a sense, every woman, and she could have been any of them. So I think that the governments in India, in the states as well as at the center, the central government, and the police and the entire machinery of law enforcement, are used to responding with great apathy and indifference to the entire issue of violence against women. And sexual violence in particular has always been greeted. Virtually every case is greeted with a chorus of victim blaming, but not just from, you know, voices in society, but from people in authority. From, you know, it's a routine response from the police, and there are politicians across the board who have indulged in rape culture remarks. And I think that in this case also, the apathy and indifference and the refusal to take responsibility and be accountable to what happened to this young woman, because it was deeply felt that this bus was a private bus which had violated multiple rules and regulations, and yet it was being allowed to run amok on Delhi streets, picking up passengers, robbing them, or indulging in violence against women. And the police knew of its existence. They maintained a diary. The police, the traffic authorities in Delhi maintained a diary. I mean, this bus was traced through a diary which maintains records of bribes taken from private bus owners and so on. And that is how they traced this bus. So it goes to show that they knew this bus was plying. They knew this bus had no business to be on the streets in this way. They knew it was violating, it had gone rogue. And yet they were taking bribes and allowing it to ply. So I think all that accumulated. Since then, you know, what has added fuel to the fire is remarks, for instance, like the member of parliament from the ruling party, the son of India's president. He made a remark about the protesters. He said, oh, these are dented and painted women, and these are not real students. I know what students are like. These are people who go to discotheques. These are beautiful, pretty, pretty women. And we should not take them seriously because their protest is just something fashionable.
Slišali smo torej pogovor, del pogovora s Kavito Krišnan, sekretarko vseindijskega progresivnega ženskega združenja, ki je eno glavnih organizatorjev aktualno potekajočih protestov proti nasilju nad ženskami in za pravičnejšo zakonodajo na področju spolov, ki so v glavnem, kot rečeno, skoncentrirani na indijsko prestolnico Delhi. Kot rečeno, je množična prisotnost na teh protestih presenetila mnoge, tudi oblasti in represivni aparat. Prišlo je tudi do nekaj konfrontacij med protestniki in policijo. Policija je uporabila vodni top, areterala nekaj protestnikov in tako naprej. Naj v tem trenutku še enkrat ponovimo, katere so glavne teme oziroma glavni pozivi, ki se jih sliši iz ust teh protestnikov. Torej, tragični dogodki 16. decembra, to brutalno posilstvo naj bi razgalilo številne nepravilnosti, številne slabe strani odnosov med spoloma v indijski družbi, globoko zakoreninjene patriarhalne vzorce, šovinistične vzorce, slabo zakonodajo, korupcijo, torej korupcijo v policijskih vrstah, predsodke uradnikov napram ženskam in tako naprej. Zato med drugim protestniki poudarjajo predvsem naslednje zahteve, če navedemo nekatere med njimi. Torej, sprememba procedur pri policijskih preiskavah in kazenski zakonodaji v zvezi z nasiljem nad ženskami, nova zakonodaja oziroma zakonska določila naj bodo napisana v sodelovanju z ženskimi organizacijami in s študenti, ki naj torej sodelujejo pri oblikovanju te nove zakonodaje. Prepoved zloglasnih testov z dvema prstoma pri obravnavanju žrtev posilstva. Ne bomo šli v detaljnejši opis teh prijemov za ugotavljanje, ali je bila ženska posiljena ali ne, si verjetno lahko zamišljate sami, kako potekajo. Hitrejša obravnava primerov spolnega nasilja pred sodišči in zagotovitev varnega javnega prevoza, torej to so nekatere zahteve teh protestnikov. Naš drugi sogovornik je bil Amitabh Kumar, vodja oddelka za odnose z javnostjo pri Indijskem centru za družbeno raziskovanje. V pogovoru z njim smo se dotaknili številnih tem, ki prihajajo na dan ob aktualnem dogajanju, pa si poslušajmo prvi sek, kjer torej Amitabh Kumar začenja z razlago ozadja aktualne indijske zakonodaje in njenih pomanjkljivosti.
The legislations, the modern legislations, let's say the ones which have been casted after the 1990s, are up to the times. But our constitution is prehistoric. Our constitution is almost the one we copied from the Britishers. So all the old laws are very patriarchal. And there, women are not seen as social animals. They are seen as small constituency who actually don't play a major role in the legal fraternity. Hence, we are amending our laws, and we also need to write new laws to function in the modern times. Our legal system is very colonial in that matter, because it was taken in from the British Constitution, and it is failing us on a daily basis. So that is definitely a area of focus. The modern Justice Verma Commission, which has come up, it is focusing on our laws and how we need to apprehend them to meet the modern times. So the legislation, to a large extent, not just crime against women, but to a large extent, is very patriarchal, rather even colonial, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Could you maybe go into a bit more details, give us some examples of this?
For example, the law against cheating in marriage. This is only applicable to a man sleeping with another married woman. Anything else does not amount to cheating in marriage. The law towards property, even in certain areas till the early 2000s, it was only for the son. And now it is that the daughter has come into that she can also be a rightful owner of property in case of any legal dispute. The law again for rape, I mean, it has been amended again and again and again, but even still in practice, we see the two-finger test, and the character of the woman is always placed forward. So that means if a woman has had more than one sexual partner, her character would be placed into it. So the bad character aspect, I mean, this is something which modern India cannot be looking into. We are in the 21st century, and we are still talking about these questions of moral characters of a woman, and it is being discriminated on the basis of the number of sexual partners she has had. If you compare that to the modern laws, such as prevention of domestic violence laws, then this has a modern theory behind it. It is looking at women as partners in the society. It is looking into the aspects of women having equality when it comes to human rights and legal rights.
Is the Constitutional Court in India an important institution for the improvement of situation of the people, of women especially?
No, definitely. I mean, courts are the most important part of any society for its improvement. But, for example, the transgenders have just been involved in the census. That means now they are being counted. So the modern census which happened, in that they were counted. So there was an official number of how many transgenders exist. The issue with India, or what it is facing right now in the last 10 years, is that the laws have come up to date, the implementation of the law, and that machinery and infrastructure is missing. Therefore, the legal system and the legal process takes a very long time, and it takes an extreme toll on the victims and the perpetrators. Hence, what we need to work on, or what we are working towards, is implementation of the laws. That is where we have failed in the modern times. Our laws are improving pretty well, and even the rate is good, but the implementation of the law is a huge issue. Therefore, there's a huge demand, and also in Delhi, we see lots of fast-track courts for women-related issues, such as sexual assault, such as domestic violence, such as female feticide. All these matters come under the fast-track courts, which are handled by women judges who can be gender-sensitive towards approaches of cases.
Dobrodošli nazaj v oddajo Južna hemisfera. Pred glasbenim premorom smo si torej poslušali prvi del pogovora z Amitabom Kumarjem, vodjo oddelka za odnose z javnostjo pri Indijskem centru za družbeno raziskovanje. Kot rečeno, so aktualni tragični dogodki priplavili na površje številna vprašanja v zvezi z odnosom, v zvezi z odnosi med spoli, med spoloma v indijski družbi. Ne samo visoko stopnjo posilstev in pa nizko stopnjo sodnih obravnav za kršitelje, kar je še posebej značilno za Indijo. Eden od žgočih problemov, če lahko to rečem, tako rečemo, je tudi ženski infanticid, torej množični poboj, umori, splavi, ko je znano, da je novorojenček ženskega spola. Te problematike smo se v nadaljevanju pogovora tudi dotaknili z Amitabom Kumarjem in pa pač v vpliv aktualnih protestov na ozaveščanje javnosti z vsemi temi problematikami.
Having a girl child is still socially looked down upon, and this is called female genocide. And girls, the fetus, there's an ultrasound performed to find out if it's a boy or a girl, and usually when it's a girl, then an abortion takes place. This is a huge issue which civil society and the government are trying to tackle, but we still have a long way to go there. So it is a big problem. It is happening throughout the class and the caste, and there are many awareness generation programs happening on it. Lots of programs are going on, but there's still many steps to be taken before it can be said that these are effective.
At the beginning you said that this is actually a positive thing, that maybe 10 years ago if a girl would be raped the same way that she was in New Delhi, there would not be such an outcry of
exactly. No, it is a very positive thing, because now India is openly saying that we have a problem. Now once that we have been able to identify the problem, we can work towards solution. Till date, we were living in some sort of denial. Till date, we were pushing it under the table. But now we are openly, actively working towards solutions. And this is the only way to solve a problem, is once you accept it, that you take logical, measured, long-term steps to improve the situation. And thankfully, Indian government, and more than that, Indian people, because it's a social problem. Sexual assault is not a problem of law and order. It is a social problem. And once the people step in the way they have, then you can really make massive strides towards improvement. So it is a very bad incident which happened, but it is good for the cause, because it has woken up people, and people are coming out on the streets and they are discussing it. I mean, the international media is looking into it. So we are under pressure internally and externally to improve the situation, and this is the only way to go about it. So it's definitely a very strong positive step forward for the gender movement.
Tako torej Amitab Kumar, ki nam bo za konec povedal še nekaj o odzivih indijske vlade na te civilno družbene, na to civilno družbeno gibanje, na proteste in na pozive k spremembi zakonodaje, miselnosti in odnosa do vprašanj povezanih s spoloma. Torej še za konec še enkrat Amitab Kumar.
The government, the Indian government has no idea about urban governance, because it does not get its votes from urban areas. Primarily, the voting happens in rural areas. So the government really, for the beginning, for the first 15 days of the protest, did not know what to do or what to say, and that's why there were no official comments. But now, with the help of civil society, they are looking into reports which were with them, and the police is being very proactive. And mostly, we are looking into policies and also the modern budget, which will come out in April, to really dedicate funds and dedicate good people to work towards and against the cause of sexual assault on women. Presently, I would not say that the government has a very large will, but they have a tremendous pressure, so they are acting. There can be a lot of more work done, but at least they've started taking the first steps. So, we would look, we would see how, what sort of an output comes out of it. But the good aspect is that in this field, no matter how small the steps are, as far as they are sustainable, it will lead to a long-term change. We need to look into India as a growing nation in the era of globalization. So as we learn how to become a democracy, we are also learning the ways of the modern world. So there are many such conflicts which happen. For example, this one. And it should not be viewed by the aspect of, oh my God, India is rising, or oh my God, India is falling. Well, India is just another normal country with a lot of people, a lot of potential, and a lot of problems. So I think when we look into this, we have to look into every aspect of it. And then we will see there's not a lot of negative, and there's also not a lot of positive. So it comes out as a very neutral thing. So it is not that Indian men suddenly started raping women on 16th of December, or that men will stop raping women today. It is an issue which has to be looked into from a large perspective and for a large vision. So while reporting, while reading, while thinking about this issue, we need to think about it in a very large spectrum rather than focusing on this one incident.
Tako, s temi besedami smo prišli do konca današnje izdaje oddaje Južna hemisfera. Zanjo sem ob pomoči redakcije in, kot rečeno, hudih tehničnih težavah poskrbel Matej Šebenik. Lep pozdrav in do slišanja.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.